Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church. The following program is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action. Welcome to Faith in Action. I'm your host, Robert Hendricks. Today we join you from the Provo campus of Brigham Young University in a lab here at the Ira A. Fulton College of Engineering and Technology. We're joined today by David Williams and his team from 2 Feet Prosthetics. Thanks for having us here today. Let me first introduce everyone. In fact, David, why don't you do that for me, starting with Doug there to your right.
Right. This is Doug Wright. Behind me we have Peter Jepson, and David Powell has come as one of our test subjects, amputees, and Mary Goodrich is right here.
What we're talking about, what is on your lap and what is on Mary's lap there and what is on David's leg are prosthetics, something that you're building here in a lab at Brigham Young University. Let me go back and talk about where did this whole idea come from? What was the nucleus of this?
Well, it started 2.5 years ago, you could say now. We were in the biomedical engineering club here. A group of us were in the presidency of the club, and we were trying to come up with an idea of something that we could do to get our students, the club members, involved in a research opportunity and also do some service. So from that, we came up with the idea of holding a prosthetic leg design competition. And that was a college-wide competition that we held, and we got a few entrants from that. And then that kind of just kicked off this whole project. From there, we got 4 ORCA grants from BYU, which are some research grants to actually do some research on campus. And we started working on designing an inexpensive prosthetic leg that was intended for use in developing nations.
What is the process of getting, you call it an ORCA grant? What is the process of obtaining one of those?
Well, it's about October. You have to write a proposal for that. It's a 2-page proposal. And in that, you have to explain why your research is important. And you have to have a professor sign on with you to do that research. And then you wait all the way till the next February to hear if you get that research funding. So it happens once a year. It's a yearly process. And we were lucky enough to get 4 of those ORCA grants, which is really amazing.
We were in your lab a few moments ago, and we'll go over there again. But is this space given to you? Do you have to rent this area? How does this whole process happen now that you've been given the grants? You're going to start making these prosthetics.
Well, we've been working here at BYU, you know, for the past 2.5 years. We're all BYU students, and we do have some UVU students who've joined us too. But it's kind of, we've just been researching here in the college, and so they've let us use some research space. And it really just started as like a research group, and then from there, as time went on, we developed into an actual organization after winning a business plan competition, and that's how we developed into what we are now. So, yeah, we really started here on campus at BYU.
Let me ask Doug, why this? Out of everything you get involved with at Brigham Young University, why this?
Well, this is something that really has intrigued me, and I didn't start off with the project 2.5 years ago. It took me about 6 or 7 months to get involved, and I really just liked the idea of being able to help people who couldn't help themselves. There's lots of people throughout the world who need help, who can't go to work, who can't provide for their families because they can't get around. And so when I heard what Dave was doing, I really was interested in it, and I really wanted to help in this area. Airplanes and cars, that's what mechanical engineers usually do, and it wasn't anything, those don't really intrigue me a whole lot. I really like this idea of helping individual people.
Do you specialize, each of you? Let me ask Peter Jepson. Is there something that you specialize in, the talent that you bring to this?
Well, I think it's interesting to note that we come from a lot of different kinds of majors. There's some mechanical engineers. I'm an electrical engineer. Mary, biophysics major. And we have some other business and some other just kind of some medical-oriented students. And so even though our skills may be completely unrelated to prosthetics, we apply the concepts that we've learned to this project. And so, and we've been able to learn as well, developing business skills, marketing, and other legal skills needed to get this project going.
So that's a lot of it. We've learned it on the go, really. We don't have a prosthetic school here. We don't have a medical school here at BYU. So it's kind of, as we've went along, we've taught ourselves what we're doing here to get to where we're at now.
Mary, as I look at the group of guys, are you the only female in the group?
There are a couple others, mm-hmm. a couple other girls in the group.
And your specialty, what do you bring to this process?
Well, like Peter said, I'm a biophysics major, so I'm kind of more medically oriented. But I just come in wherever I'm needed. Like Dave says, we just learn whatever skill we need. I'm interested in humanitarian work, and I've done some humanitarian work, and so I kind of help guide where our project goes and make sure that it's sustainable and that we're going to be doing good in the countries we go to. And then I have been helping with our volunteer amputees, trying to get them a leg and get them into a clinical trial so that we can make sure that our leg is going to work. So,
you are holding a finished product here. Is this finished, or kind of finished, or?
This one that David is holding is a little bit more finished. This is just the foot part of it.
What's the fun thing about that one, though?
This one is from El Salvador. We went to El Salvador this summer, and so we brought this back, and it's signed by the people that we worked with there. But the one that Dave is holding, it has the foot component and then also the socket on it, and so that would be more of a finished product.
This is made out of sprinkler pipe,
right.
For want of
technical terms,
or technical
polyvinyl
term,
chloride,
right,
or PVC.
Let's put it where we all know. This is sprinkler pipe. Where did this idea come from? Who finally decided to say, wow, sprinkler pipe, this will work great for this?
That is a good question. You know, like, as we started up this project, we toyed around with the idea of bamboo for a while because we thought, you know, bamboo is readily available in a lot of areas, and we just never could get that to work out. And so coming up with the idea of PVC, I'm not sure how that actually happened. It's just in all of our brainstorming sessions, somebody threw that out there. I wish. Does anybody remember how that happened?
Dr. Pitt might have recommended it as well.
Is it Dr. Pitt? Yeah.
Initially, we were trying to come up with making a leg out of just household items. So we initially tried with a socket out of PET, which is a 2-liter bottle, a soda bottle, forming the top of it. We found that didn't work, but we've had some great help and some wonderful advisors on both the business and technical side here from professors here at BYU and also other industry leaders.
I want to draw kind of a parallel here. What Mary is holding, finished product, will be how many dollars probably?
The materials for that are, you know, $10, $15, okay. So it's really inexpensive. So
David Powell is wearing one that cost?
This one I'm currently wearing was just a little under $16,000. This was my first leg, and it was around $8,000 about 10 years ago, with no component other than pipe, the fiber, carbon fiber carrier, and then the pre-made foot. That's pretty basic.
Are we talking just third world consumers, or do you see that this is going to be anywhere in the world you'll be able to produce one of these for around $25 in material for anybody?
Honestly, like, I know there is a need even in the U.S. for a lot of amputees who aren't able to afford $16,000 legs all the time. There is a need for inexpensive legs, so it could possibly be used here in the U.S. too, but primarily we've been focusing on developing nations since labor is so inexpensive there, and the design is so simple it can be made in most any location.
Well, not to mention, one of the first things that I had to take on was the concept of how I was going to take a shower. And, you know, I can certainly wear this leg in the shower, but then you've got to take components apart, make sure you've got all the moisture out of it so that you don't have any kind of wear problems because of the moisture. You know, something like this can just put on, be left on, and able to do whatever you need to do around the house and be exposed to water and not have the concerns that I currently do with this leg. and it's built right into it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. This is a program that explores the humanitarian work members of the church are doing throughout the world. Today we're joined by the group 2 Feet Prosthetics, a team of BYU students who've created an inexpensive artificial leg for use worldwide. And we're talking with David Williams, Doug Wright, Mary Goodrich, David Powell, and Peter Jepson, who are not all of you in the engineering department, but associated roughly, I guess, with the engineering department in developing a prosthetic leg made out of, and I'll just say it, sprinkler pipe. I mean, it's the easiest thing for me to relate it to everybody else. Let's talk about evolution. The first one that you built, how did the idea, what somebody goes, here's a piece, let's put it over here, or there's cushioning I can see that helps the step. How did all this happen?
It was a process for sure. I don't know, Doug was involved in that too, but it really started out as just a basic pipe with a slit, and then the pipe was heated up and formed out, so you had a toe and a heel. But we realized early on that that wouldn't work too well. Once you put some loads on that, and you can imagine where the cut's at right there, without anything holding it together, the stresses are transferred right up to this point, and it could crack the pipe. So Doug and I have done quite a bit of testing and stuff, and we figured out what to do to modify the design, all of us, of course, to overcome many of those issues.
Doug, when he talks about testing, what exactly did you do?
Well, we there's a machine here at BYU that will apply forces, compressive forces, on a specimen of any sort. And so we took our leg down to this machine, and we loaded our leg up with several hundred pounds, and we went through lots and lots of legs. Lots of legs broke, but we came up with a design that was able to hold over 1,000 pounds in compressive forces, and it didn't show any signs of wear, any signs of cracks or any signs of breaking. And so we felt pretty confident in the design that we currently have. We've also applied, this machine can also apply cyclic loading. And so we applied 300 pounds of force onto this leg, and we multiplied that 100,000 times. And so we simulated 100,000 steps, basically, which is about 2-3 months worth of walking. And once again, there was no signs of cracks or fatigue or any signs of wear on the leg. It held up very well to the testing that we've done. And so we feel pretty confident right now in the testing that we've done. But we're in the process of creating our own test fixture to replicate. We want to do 1 million steps.
3 million.
3 million steps, yeah. To make sure that this leg will hold up, that it'll last long enough for our amputees.
David, it's well and good that they have a machine that tests this. But you have to, it has to work with you.
It's a pretty humbling experience to realize, first of all, how much I didn't realize each step I took prior to losing a limb. After the loss of that leg, it became evident to me right away that that would be something I would be I would be confronted with every step. And it's a pretty humbling experience when you, if you've got something you don't have a lot of trust in, to take that first step for fear of falling or breaking and hurting yourself even more drastically than you've already been hurt. So,
oh, I think the battery was
when I think of lab, I think of white lab coats, and I find this sparkling facility with long tables and a nice building, and yet they've got to put you in outer darkness almost up there. Some place that you chose, or they just said, hey, we've got some room over here, go ahead.
It was more of our choice, I guess. Yeah, we kind of moved in and then asked for permission to be there. So.
Kind of the crow's nest.
Yeah. We're very grateful for them providing the space and also letting us use the equipment to test and to manufacture these legs.
Nope. So Brigham Young University then is supplying the a portion of what you use for testing equipment and for the room and for some of the funding as well through the grants.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So it's thanks to that we've been able to do this in the first place. It really is amazing how we have an institution like BYU where you can have that opportunity to do something like this. You can find students who want to do this and who are provided with the equipment and facilities to actually do it.
Well, they've put on several competitions over the last couple of years that we've been a part of. Like Dave mentioned before, the social venture competition that we took a part in last year. We were able to win that. And then this year, they had the first Student Innovator of the Year competition that we were a part of as well. We took second place in that competition. And then the Perry Foundation has been very helpful. And they awarded us a fellowship that was able to help us communicate with several other companies throughout the United States that would teach us and give us some other ideas of how to better our product, how to take our product to the world. And so those BYU putting on these opportunities for us and providing, giving us that privilege of competing and showing what we have to the judges has also been a huge help.
When you get into El Salvador and you see people who are incapacitated with a missing limb and they see something like this, what is this like to those of you who are working on this project?
I don't know, Mary, what was it like for you?
Well, the situation is a little bit different in El Salvador. They have a pretty good system of prosthetics there. But the problem is that they have access to a prosthetic leg, but it's sporadic and it's spread out over a long period of time. And so one of the first people that we worked with there, he had a leg, but it was broken. And so he had just duct taped it together. And he worked out, he lived close to the beach, and he liked to play soccer and things like that. And his leg just wasn't cut out for being in the water and for being in damp conditions all the time. And so he liked our leg because it's, because first of all, we gave him a leg that wasn't broken.
Yeah.
And second of all, because it's made out of sprinkler pipe and it can withstand those conditions.
You lived out in the little village of a jungle, you know, some muddy conditions you can imagine, just dirt paths that he's walking on. So this is something that he could totally beat up and get wet without worrying about it falling apart.
What is the process from start to finish to contact the person contacting you? Do you measure? Do you are there load tests you do? What is the process? And I noticed that Doug, Peter back there shaking his head. What is the process that you go through here to from start to finish to fit someone with an artificial leg?
Okay, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the other advantages of our leg is that it is very customizable. So depending on how high where the amputation is. In the, I guess, the lower section of the leg. And we take measurements of that, as well as their other foot, unless they are a double amputee. And we have, through, I guess, a study, we've come up with certain calculations and sizes and that we fit our measurements to create our own leg. We try to model the foot after their other foot, so it seems as regular to the amputee as it can be.
Yeah. So we actually take an outline of the person's real foot, and then we do that on paper, cut it out, and flip it over and trace it onto a piece of PVC. So then the sole plate on this foot's the exact same shape as their real foot, you know, so it will have the same feel. You can imagine if you're wearing a foot that was an extra 2 or 3 inches, it'd feel really funky. You wouldn't walk naturally. So you need to have it the same size. And so that's what Peter's talking about. When we customize it, we really make it to the exact same shape as their other foot, which is really nice. And it's also important to know the weight of the amputee, so then you know how many layers to put onto the leg. If the person weighs more, of course, you need to add more layers of PVC so it can hold that greater amount of weight.
Or if they're more active, I would suppose, if they're in a situation where they're working or standing or whatever, then you could customize it for that.
Right, yeah. Depending on how stiff they want their leg, yeah.
You want to go into a country and set up places where these can be manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take to train someone to actually build?
So that's a fun part, and that's what we're working on right now, too, with going down to Tonga. The bottom part, you can imagine this component, the PVC component, is really simple to make, easy to learn how to do, too. You could teach somebody within a few days, and they could understand how to make this whole bottom component. The most difficult part is the socket up here at the top, and that's where it requires somebody who really knows what he's doing, who really understands the anatomy of an amputee's residual limb, so then they know how to fit this properly. What you have to do for this upper component, the socket, is you have to take a mold of the amputee's residual limb and make a plaster mold out of that. And then you heat up this plastic, the polypropylene, and vacuum mold it around that mold. So then you have the socket that's customized to the shape of their residual limb. And from there, you really have to align it with the bottom of the leg to make sure that it's straight up and over, you know, align at the right area so then they're not leaning to one side and they're not leaning forward or backward. You have to get it perfectly aligned. So there's a lot that goes into making the socket and aligning the foot.
It's a very critical procedure, then. It's not
somebody
who's going to walk off the street and learn how to do this in a couple of days.
No, it takes quite a bit of training, yeah.
I mean, just a difference an eighth of an inch can make or break how comfortable or even how workable the leg can be. And so it's even measurements that are below that that they're really having to be able to replicate, and that's why it's so critical when they do the mold of the residual limb. It doesn't just they do it and then they make this copy. They actually massage it into the texture or the actual size, the way the limb was, taking out the blemishes from the plaster itself and sanding them down. And they really do quite a lot of work in that carrier because that's the interface between the body and the bottom leg for the person.
Mary and I have been working on a mold for David today in the last couple of days, and between Mary and I, we spent probably 4 or 5 hours, just the two of us, very inexperienced on this. And so we've come up with one for David that we'll try later on tonight and see how well we did it. But after he tries it on the first time, there'll still be modifications that will have to happen to make sure that it's comfortable, make sure that he can wear it for several hours without it irritating his residual limb.
Mary, what is the wear factor? How long can David probably or anyone wear these 24 hours a day, 12 hours a day? Or is it something that's going to have to be on and off?
That's kind of what we're trying to test. So that's why we're making David a leg right now, is that we want him to test it out and tell us how comfortable it is. But ideally, it would be something that someone could wear all day. You know, they could wear it for 12 hours while they go to work and while they're at work and while they come home from work and they're home with their family. And then they take it off and they don't wear it when they sleep, but they would wear it all during the day.
What is the next step? Funding, getting more people excited. What happens now that you have a product that obviously appears to work? People are happy that are using it. What do you do now?
Obviously, financial support is always a help. As we're trying to set up the clinic in Tonga, it does take a lot of support and funding to get that going. And so we'd like to do that elsewhere, too. Ever since we had an article in LDS Living about what we're doing, we've gotten emails from people in Guam, the Micronesian Islands, in Guatemala, down in Congo, over in the Marshall Islands, people all over the world who say that they also need this sort of thing in their countries, too. And so we're hoping that after we set up a clinic down in Tonga, we could likewise replicate this process in other countries, too. And so, of course, you can imagine that's not free to do that sort of thing. It takes funding and effort.
We talk to welfare missionaries from around the world, and this is a huge problem in countries around the world where people, because of traffic accidents especially, it would seem, are losing limbs and because of wars and because of other things.
Even diabetes.
Even diabetes.
So earthquake is the number of amputees that they had is just phenomenal. And it'll be for, you know, generations that the whole Haitian people will have to become more accustomed to interfacing with people that are missing a limb.
We appreciate your effort on this. We must feel good to go home at night and say, we're helping. We're going to develop something that's going to help the world, people all over the world. Congratulations. It's very nice. Then thanks to all of you for joining us today for Faith in Action. To learn more about this program and others we offer on the Mormon Channel, visit our website, mormonchannel.org. Join us again next time for Faith in Action.
This program was brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.